I take my text tonight from the 90th Psalm, which is chanted by the church in the last prayer of the Divine Office on a Sunday, Compline, or the night prayer of the church. The 90th Psalm begins, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the protection of the God of hosts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Rogation, or Asking, Sunday, which leads up to the Lesser Litanies and its high point of the week, Ascension Thursday, our Lord going in glory home to heaven. This is a week of intense prayer, especially when you consider it as being combined with a week in May, the May devotions here at church before Our Lady's altar or at your own family May altar each day. Did you know that the Fatima apparition started 1 year before Our Lady actually came and spoke to the three little shepherd children at Fatima? And it started in this way. The children in spring of 1916 were seeking shelter from a storm, and the angel of peace, came and found them in the cave and taught them how to pray in preparation for Our Blessed Lady's visit. This past Wednesday was the first apparition of Our Lady at Fatima, the first anniversary of that. And although Our Lord sent us in His goodwill a lot of rain, nevertheless, we had a good rosary prayed here at church before the Blessed Sacrament exposed. Now, Wednesday was as well, in addition to the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, the feast of one of our patron saints here in Cincinnati. It was as well the feast day of St. Robert Bellarmine. He wrote a beautiful meditation. They say that he wrote so much that really, in effect, he wrote a book, or published a book, every week of the year for many years in his life. He wrote a magnificent meditation once on the 90th Psalm, employing the imagery of seeking shelter in a storm. And this he wrote in answer to what is always a timely question, but especially on Rogation Sunday. Why is it that although Our Lord says, ask the Father anything in my name, and it will be given you, but it seems that so often when we pray, our prayers are not answered. He explains this way. King David begins the 90th Psalm, Qui Habitat. He who dwelleth in the shelter of the Most High. Because you see, we are not meant merely to run to divine protection, as people will do when there's a sudden downpour of rain. They head for the nearest tree or doorway, and they just stay there until the shower passes. What God wants from us is to dwell in the divine protection. How do we get there? We have to be like little boys, St. Robert Bellarmine says, who run to the arms of their father, little children, when anything frightens them, they know that mom and dad would gladly give their heart's blood for their protection, and they feel safe dwelling, staying there in their arms. But people who duck under a tree to escape a rainstorm are desperate. Nothing else is available, and this will do for a moment. Do you see the difference? Why is it that some implore God's assistance without receiving it? Because they seem to put their trust in God only temporarily. Because so many prayers are just that. They're sort of a sporadic dash out of the rain, seeking shelter under a tree, rather than abiding or dwelling, as God invites us, in the permanent place His providence provides for us. Where is that? It is in our Father's arms. It is in our Father's house. And when we are there, I mean, actually dwelling with God in His presence, all sorts of good things start to happen. So much so that you could almost not be able to stop them. So good is God with his children who dwell with him. Now, it was St. Robert Bellarmine, amongst many other duties for the church in his day, who presented today's saint, St. Paschal Baylon, for canonization. He had prepared the case, and he was reciting miracle after extraordinary miracle, each one of them an answer to somebody's prayer, so much so that one of the cardinals in the congregation of saints exclaimed, "A saecula non est auditum tale." From the very beginning, the like has never been heard. Let me tell you a bit about this saint of prayers and miracles, Paschal Baylon. Like the children of Fatima, he was a shepherd, but he lived in 16th century Spain. And he loved Our Lady very, very much, but he was a shepherd, so his job took him out to the fields every day with his sheep, and he didn't, as most children of that era did not, have the opportunity to learn how to read. But he had gotten hold of a little prayer book, the Little Office of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is the divine office in a reduced form to be used by religious and laity, especially in a form of honoring Our Blessed Mother. He got this idea of asking passers-by for help with his reading lesson. So a little bit at a time, with the help of people who were just passing by, he was able to figure out the Latin words and begin to read. And he recited that little office each day. When he heard the bells of Mass, especially for the elevation, regardless of where he was, he would stop and he would kneel down and pray. He wanted to be there. That's the difference probably between him and us. He wanted to be at Mass every day, but he couldn't be. And our Lord rewarded him for that one time by sending two angels to bring the Blessed Sacrament to him for his consolation, so that he could kneel down and adore our Lord as the angel would bring the Blessed Sacrament from heaven at the second of his three apparitions to the children of Fatima. He entered the Franciscan order. He was very humble, so he just entered as a lay brother, even though he could read, so he would have been entitled to study for the priesthood. But in a very humble way, he excelled in every possible virtue, and if he was free from a particular duty, and someone was looking for him, they would find him in church, and they knew that. And when he prayed, he always prayed like this, his hands before the tabernacle, immovable. He always took at prayer, as well as at sleep, a very uncomfortable position as a penance. But he loved to dwell, and it was his delight, to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, in the shadow of the tabernacle of the altar. This protection of divine providence was extended to him once in an extraordinary fashion. Because he was so good, and because he was so supernatural, he was sent on a very dangerous mission from Spain to Paris, where the minister general of their particular branch of the Franciscans resided. And some message had to be brought him, and he was the man for the job. So he heads out with entire trust in God's providence. He's just wearing his sandals and a raggedy old habit. He has no food, so I'll beg my food on the way, that's fine. And he gets across the Alps, and he gets into southern France, and his brethren, Toulouse, tell him, "You'd better change out of your habit. These are Protestants here who hate Catholics." This was during the religious wars, where the Huguenots killed monks and religious and desecrated many a Catholic church. But he said no, he would trust in God. And twice, like our Lord, he was able just to walk through being stoned instead of being stoned to death. And at least once he was beaten with sticks as he walked along because he obviously was a Catholic and a friar to boot. Twice he was arrested as a Spanish spy, but twice he was able just to walk away from it, to go home, or to continue on his trip free. He did receive a terrible wound in his shoulder, which never healed. And his one regret of this long, very dangerous journey was that one time a soldier on a horse, a Protestant, rode up to him, and he pointed his lance at him, and he said, Where does God dwell? Well, without even thinking, St. Pascal responded, in heaven. And the soldier seemed satisfied with that, and he put his lance away, and he rode on. And it was only a minute or two later that St. Pascal realized he was expecting me to say, in heaven and in the Blessed Sacrament. And he said, I missed my chance for martyrdom. And he blamed himself, in his very, very humble way, that he wasn't worthy of it after all. And that really was a lifelong regret, that he didn't die as a martyr of the Blessed Sacrament. But his life was not all dangerous, exotic adventures, nor was it all contemplative prayer. He was a brother. It's the job of brothers to do whatever needs to be done in a monastery. Sometimes he was the questor, the beggar. He'd go from door to door begging food for the friars. And sometimes he was in charge of the door. He was the porter. And sometimes he was a cook. In fact, he's a patron saint of cooks, St. Pascal Baylon. But I think what really characterizes his prayer, we'd say today is prayer life, because this is the prayer Sunday, remember, is this. He had in his devotion a wonderful kind of a holy liberty whereby he personalized his prayer, this practice of the presence of God in all things. And this is what gave his prayer great power. Like the juggler of Notre Dame, one day, he thought he was alone in the refectory and he was setting the table. One day, he started dancing for the Blessed Mother. There was an image of Our Lady in the refectory. And he was dancing just in his own world in an ecstasy. And one of the other brothers came in and came across this remarkable scene. And so he leaves the room, then he kind of coughs, clears his throat, and comes in a second time. And forewarned, now the brother Pascal is just setting the table in a very quiet way, but his face for hours afterwards glowed with the light of ecstasy that he had done this, his prayer really made in his own way. St. Pascal was born and he died on Pentecost Sunday, so he got his name, and he died at the moment of the elevation, when the bells were ringing for the elevation of the sacred host. Later on that day, his body, as the custom was brought into church and was put into the side chapel, waiting for his funeral. And immediately it started to exude what they call a perfumed manna. There's a perfume that came out, and if you gathered it up, then it dried into kind of a manna. And many other miracles were being worked. So all of these people were crowded around his body in church, and there was a little girl who got very close. Later on, she confessed that she was not paying attention to the Mass that day, but she was watching the face of the saint. And when the time came for the consecration, she distinctly saw him open and close his eyes for the consecration of the sacred host and again for the precious blood. The lasting miracle of St. Pascal Baylon is known as Los Golpes de San Pascal, the knocking of St. Pascal. They say that if you pray to him as a way, sometimes you'll hear from his relics or from his picture, sort of a gentle knocking to tell you it's okay, your prayer is going to be answered. Or if someone is disrespectful to the Blessed Sacrament, that person over centuries has heard sometimes a loud kind of a knock like that to warn him to be respectful to our Lord in the sacred host. But most of all, he seems to have with those who pray to him, who are his friends, and who know him, he seems to have an understanding that he would warn them 3 days before they die. And you'll hear a gentle little knocking to tell you that your time is coming soon. And it comes from one of his pictures, if you have a devotion to St. Pascal Baylon. Unfortunately, today, the modern pictures, the Spanish call them retablos, that are painted, especially in New Mexico and southwestern part of this country, portray the sort of a typical, you know, jolly, fat Franciscan, patron saint of cooks. And the whole mystical side of our saint and his ascetical side is ignored. He was a man who fasted terribly. And when he ate, he would eat the scrapings from the plates of the other brethren. And he wore hair cloth, of course, and chains, and did terrible penances. That's sort of lost today. This picture of him is a fat, old, jolly Franciscan. It's too bad that St. Pascal Baylon should be reduced to a parody or a pastiche. But they do that, don't they? People will, to saints. And they also do that to the concept of prayer. They've reduced prayer to a desperate dash for cover from a storm. Don't people say, well, all we can do now is to pray. But prayer isn't running from the rain, or running in his case, from a storm of stones even. Because if you do that, the danger is you'll run right past God the Father, who's waiting for you to receive you and to put you right in his arms, in the shadow of the Most High, in the protection of the God of heaven. That is prayer. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.